Energy journalist Nancy Grant joins us for the third and final discussion of a series that she's written for Kentucky Living magazine titled On the Grid. Nancy, I've learned a lot following the articles, and this final one summarizes how well organized power companies are and regulatory groups are to keep our power coming. Let's start with how we are within service areas.
Well, yes, Kate, it's good to be with you. Many, many years ago, electric utilities realized it would be a waste of time and effort and money to have power lines crisscrossing each other that belonged to different companies. So in the local level, each distribution electric company, the one that brings the power to your house or your business or your farm, they have a certain geographic area they serve. That's their service territory. And then next to it, a different company has a different service territory so that the lines don't run in parallel on the same street. Saves money for the consumers.
And these service organizations are watched over by whom?
Well, the individual distribution co-ops or investor-owned electric utilities, whoever they are watched over by public service commissions within individual states. The degree of oversight varies from state to state, but here in Kentucky, we have the Kentucky Public Service Commission, and they review the financial plans and so forth of each of the electric utilities to make sure that they're doing their arithmetic right.
How, when you get down to the actual matter of providing me electricity when I want it, can you put it in a nutshell how that happens?
Well, yes, I can. Your local electric utility buys electricity bulk power from somebody who generates that electricity. And in Kentucky, we have several different business models. In the investor-owned electric utility sector, a company, one single company, could generate electricity and transmit it and distribute it. But in your listening area, most of your listeners get their electric power from an electric co-op, and those local distribution co-ops buy their power from a generating co-op such as Big Rivers. And the electricity comes from the power plant through bulk transmission lines to the substations, which are those things behind a chain link fence. You might see one when you're driving into work and it's full of big boxes and big coiled up things and lots of lines. The bulk power comes into that, and then it's stepped down and comes to your house or your farm or your business in a voltage that you can use for your appliances and your lights and your computer system.
Now, regional authorities called independent system operators are a centralized marketplace for power. And you mentioned that you wanted to touch on some science, and this is the mystery. You write that each ISO matches up buyers and sellers of power within a region on a minute-to-minute basis. How does that work?
Well, let's talk a little bit about what electricity is. I've mentioned this before. Electricity is not a thing. It is a force. It is the movement of electrons through certain materials that allow for that movement. Those materials conduct electricity. That's what's inside those big wires you see overhead at the substations or anywhere else. And here's the trick about it. The amount of electricity flowing in those wires has to be an exact match to the amount of electricity that people want to use to operate lights, fans, motors, computers, all of that stuff. It always has to be an exact match between what's being generated and what's being consumed. And that is why they have to have coordination among the different generators and suppliers so that there's always that match. And independent system operators are helping the utilities figure out who's got power to send into the transmission lines and who needs that power. So there's a physics problem going on there. And then also they have to consider what the price of the power is. Earlier you asked, how does it get to you? That's how it gets to you. Figuring out what your bill for it should be is a whole nother matter.
Well, let's tap into that whole other matter. If the force must be addressing a need equally, and therefore the force is constantly being modulated, how do independent system operators calculate that? Is it simply the metering device and reading the consumption and that's it?
Well, it's a lot more complicated than that, and the word modulating has a different meaning in the electric utility industry. We won't go there. What we'll talk about, I think, will help listeners understand is that different kinds of generators cost different amounts of money to be operated. And most electric utilities are obligated to find the lowest price for the power they're bringing to their customers. And these new groups, like the independent system operators, help the individual electric utilities figure out where is the lowest cost electricity available that can be brought to their customers at the time period it's needed. It's very complex, but the system operators and the individual electric utilities have decades of experience, and they're always monitoring new trends in electricity consumption. They're watching what the weather is. I've been visiting in the control room at East Kentucky Power on the other side of the state, and they knew that electricity consumption would go up on a certain evening because everybody would be tuned in with their TV sets and their computers to a University of Kentucky basketball game. And they also knew that the temperature was expected to drop by 20 degrees after sunset, and people would be turning up their heating system. So they're looking ahead, anticipating what the need for electricity will be, and they're also drawing on their prior experience in their community. Big Rivers would do the same thing if they thought there was going to be a major change in the weather, perhaps in the summertime when a heat wave is expected. And they would know that everybody's going to be cranking their air conditioning up, and they'd say, boy, we're going to need extra power today. So it's all conversations going around, making the perfect match between the need for electricity and what's going through the transmission line.
Well, it must be a split-second system, or at least a split-hour system. What if they're wrong? What happens to the force that is no longer in demand accidentally?
Well, somebody has to keep watch over it and step things back down if there is a mismatch. It's a constant thing of raising it up to meet increased demand and then lowering it when demand falls off. And that is done, generally speaking, within the power plants what is being fed into the transmission lines. It's extremely complex, and I admire the people who know how to do this.
Nancy, thanks so much for speaking with us about our use of power and how it happens. It is a complex subject, but I think you've helped me understand at least a lot more about it.
Well, I like to talk to people about it. It's one of the most important things in our lives. We depend on it all day and all night. Thanks, Kate.